Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view, all that I can say, all that I can know.
It's time for story time, my friends, on the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. This week's story is entitled Ariadne's Thread and the Big Unwinding. This is the story of Ariadne's thread and how I came to know it. In Greek mythology, Ariadne's thread is the story about how the beautiful Ariadne helps her lover, Theseus, slay the fierce and bloodthirsty Minotaur. She does this by giving him a sword and a ball of golden thread. The Minotaur lived in a dark labyrinth. Ariadne advised Theseus to tie one end of the thread near the entrance of the labyrinth and let it unroll as he delved deeper and deeper into its twisting and branching paths. When Theseus found the Minotaur in the labyrinth, he killed him, and then followed the thread back to the entrance where Ariadne was waiting. She then eloped with him, and I assume they both lived happily ever after. And that, my friends, is how the legend of Ariadne's thread was born. These days, Ariadne's thread refers to solving a problem through an exhaustive application of logical principles. The thread is also a metaphor for the application of cleverness and intuition. I first heard about Ariadne's thread in 1988 when I was working at a major urban library. The library for years had been run by a nice but exceedingly buttoned-down conservative library director and his administrative team of buttoned-down white guys. It was a carefully structured and contained atmosphere with layers of bureaucracy that impeded change. At a certain point, it became time for the library director to move on and for the library board to hire a new boss. And the library board, wanting change, did what every board everywhere does. They hired a successor who was the polar opposite of the current director in every way. While the last guy was a guy, this time they hired a woman, the first woman director in the institution's history. The last guy was quiet and reserved. This new gal was voluble and gregarious. While the last guy was conservative, she was said to be dynamic and a real change maker. Hearing that this change maker, this enthusiastic and dynamic and gregarious person was coming, everyone throughout the vast library system became excited about how creative and forward-looking and progressive we were about to become. Change was in the air and we were abuzz about it. The excitement reached a fever pitch as we approached our annual staff education day, a day in which we closed the library and we gathered the whole team of over 600 employees together at a fancy hotel for 8 hours of inspirational speakers and workshop and fun to be capped by a day-end speech by the brand new boss. It would be her first chance to address the entire team all in one room. She would introduce herself and would, of course, unveil her plans and her visions for the brave new world we were about to create together under her leadership. Well, it turns out that year I was the chair of the staff day planning committee. And so I asked the new director what she wanted to call her inaugural speech. And she said, Ariadne's Thread. Well, none of us knew what Ariadne's Thread was, and we were too abashed to ask her. So we ran off to our mythology and folklore dictionaries and read the story of Ariadne and of Theseus and of the maze and of the Minotaur. And we learned that the expression Ariadne's Thread had come to mean using logic to guide you and informing it with intuition and with cleverness. And we thought, given that title, that is what the speech is going to be about. Our future will feature an organized methodology for the pursuit of excellence using brain power and inspiration. And that is what we presumed, and that is what we thought. And we thought, this is a great future that is coming our way. And the excitement was continuing to build. The big day came, and the event was a smashing success. We had great speakers, we had challenging workshops, we had a nice lunch, we even had some African music, which prompted some of our staff to get up and dance. It was like one big release from the conservative shackles of the past, and everything had gone brilliantly. As at about 3:30 in the afternoon on the day of the event, the 600 of us gathered in the big hotel ballroom for the new director's exciting proclamation of the future. The board president introduced her, and she approached the podium, bending the microphone down to her lips. The room was hushed. She began to talk about excellence. She said we were going to provide the most excellent, best ever, most caring, most compassionate service to everyone in our city. She was enthusiastic and she was passionate, and I knew that she had a good heart. But the reality was, this was old news. We who work in libraries hear that kind of talk all the time. Of course we want to give great service. We signed on for that from day one. But she kept going on like that, going on about how good and wonderful and special and service-oriented we were going to be. As we waited for the big conclusion where she would tell us her plan for using Ariadne's thread and its logical techniques to lead us out of the maze of our stifling, hyper-conservative, button-down bureaucracy. And then suddenly she said thank you and walked off the podium. And with that massive anticlimax, the speech was over. She had offered no great vision, no great plan, no great anything, really. Just a lot of hyperbole about service. And worst of all, she never tied anything that she said to the myth of Ariadne's thread, which was the title of her talk. She had lost the thread back to Ariadne's thread, which she could have used to sew the whole speech together, if you will pardon the metaphor. It made me sad and disappointed. And perhaps I should have known then and there that her administration was going to be rocky. As time went on, there were many ups and downs. She was a great person and a brilliant thinker, but she operated solely on personal intuition. She so wanted to get things done that she could not restrain herself from asking several people to do the same thing. It was confusing, it was disorganized, it was another maze, and it turned out to be an even more bewildering maze than the bureaucratic maze created by the button-down white guys. She wanted to do the right thing, but she was simply not up to navigating the labyrinthian demands and expectation that the job required of her, and that was very sad. Well, at this point, I have run out of maze and sewing metaphors, so that is the end of the story. A story where life goes on and we try our best, but we are sometimes disappointed. Not every story has a happy ending. You know that yourself from your own life. Not every story has a happy ending. I wish this one did. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.